Okay, well, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 55. I'm going to do my best this morning. Somehow me and my notes and list of scriptures have been separated. God bless me. It's all right, though. What I did want to share on and what I'm going to share on this morning are some things regarding God's Word and that it's a Word worth knowing. When we sit back and think about God's Word and what we have, it's a testimony, one testimony anyway, as to God's faithfulness in that we have His Word, despite man's best attempts throughout history to get rid of it. Even in parts of the world where God's Word is forbidden, those are some of the places where the Word is moving faster and more than anywhere else. Isn't that something? And it's an absolute testimony to God's faithfulness. That He watches over His Word, that He guards His Word. Because He will bring His Word to pass. He will absolutely bring His Word to pass. That's something. But I wanted to start here, since I love these scriptures, as many of you know. In Isaiah chapter 55, and in verse 8 it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." That's pretty high. "And my thoughts," then what? "Than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me," what?
Void.
"But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You don't see all the, you know, the workings and the things that go on behind the scenes, but God's word is working. He backs His word up. Isn't that something? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we have the means by which we can begin to understand some of those things. Where we can begin to understand His ways. Begin to understand His thoughts. By His word, we can understand and attain His wisdom. By His word, we can understand and learn about His love. His grace, His mercy, His ability, you know, His heart toward men. By looking at His word and by spending time with His word, we can learn of His works. Isn't that something? We can learn these things. That's why He's given it to us. So that we can receive the wisdom of God to the end, that we can walk in that wisdom. That's something. It's a word worth knowing. I want you to turn to, we're going to look at some familiar scriptures this morning. I've been saying that a lot over the past few weeks. But, you know, this stuff's exciting. It just is. You know, sometimes you get into some great things in the Word, and those things are great too. But boy, sometimes you just enjoy the simple truths of God's Word. You know, you can't hear too many teachings on God's love. You ever get tired of that? I don't get tired of that. You know, I read some of these records. I read them 1,000 times, and it's like it's just as cool now as it was when I first read them. You know, you have favorite records in the Word where it's like that. It's just, you know, I love reading about Daniel in the lion's den. I never get tired of it. It's just as, you know, even the end, even though I know the end, it's like it's as cool now, you know, as when I first learned it. Because it's about God. It's about what God does. That's my Father I'm reading about. That's why it's so exciting. Psalm 138. Verse 1. The King James says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. King James reads, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. The word gods there is translated from the word Elohim, which is in reference to God the Creator. Okay? It is before God, the Creator, will I sing praise. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above what? Above all thy name. See? It's kind of neat that Elohim is used in the context here because there are a number of names used. Elohim is one. Jehovah. There are, you know, different names associated with the name Jehovah. Jehovah basically means God in relationship to his people. That's how Jehovah was used. You know, Jehovah the healer, Jehovah my banner, and on and on. Elohim is God the Creator. Which is sort of neat because that sort of sets the parameters for thy name. Because thy name is put for all that thy name represents. This is God the Creator. The Creator. You know? The Creator. It's amazing. Just to spend time, you know, studying a plant. They give degrees in that. And we still don't know everything. Right? They're still figuring out where wind comes from. You know? God the Creator. Isn't that something? Thou hast magnified thy word above what? All thy name. Here, you want to grab this, honey? Thank you. Above all thy name. Isn't that something? That's what we have here. And that word, it also says in this verse, thy truth. Thy truth. There's a great verse. Well, let's turn there. John chapter 17. This is part of the prayer of Jesus Christ during those moments before he gave himself over to be crucified. Yeah. Verse 14. This is Jesus Christ in his prayer. And he says, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy what?
Truth.
Through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
Isn't that something? Thy word is truth. It's what we read in Psalm. Magnify thy word, your truth, above what? All thy name. All that his name represents. Isn't that something? His word. And his word is truth. It's the truth. There are many places we can go to see that. I want you to turn, please, to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Boy, there's a mind picture, you know. There's a show on, I'm convinced it's the dumbest show on television, but I could be wrong. And I've never seen it, but I've only heard of it. And it's these guys, I guess one guy's a multimillionaire, then there's another guy, and they're digging in this remote place for what they think they'll find, some kind of treasure or something, and I don't know, they found a button from the 1700s.
Was that
okay? But maybe that's it. I don't even know the name of it. I've never seen it. There's a guy that I work with that watches the show, and he fills me in, and I always say to him, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's what I say every time. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, you know, they search, they put all this effort, all this money into nothing.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it must be. Is it the dumbest thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
It's a dog chasing.
And if any...
Find that treasure.
If there are any Oak Hill fans listening to this teaching, please don't take offense to it. I've never watched it. But anyway, you know, the effort that men put into, you know, try to find these things, boy, we're talking about what? We're talking about the real deal here. God's word. God's word. Then shalt thou understand the reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of who? Of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. That's right. See. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment. He keeps or he guards the paths of judgment. And he preserves the way of his saints. I'm sorry, that word keepeth is the word for maintain. The word for preserve is to guard. He guards the way of his saints. Isn't that something? Then shalt thou understand righteousness or justice and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is what? It's pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. That word discretion, it basically means the ability to make good decisions. Isn't that great? The ability to make good. You know why you have the ability to make good decisions? Because you got some wisdom. You got some knowledge. And as sons of God, we have what? Spirit. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Isn't that beautiful? These are promises in God's word. These are promises. Do you see why it's a word that's worth, you know, knowing, worth putting the work into, the effort into? Just to learn it. See? It's really something. Now, we'll never know it all. We'll never know it all. That individual that begins to delve into God's word and to learn God's word and begins to see God's wisdom, His goodness, His grace in these things, there are a couple of things that happen. One, you'll manifest some thankfulness, some real thankfulness. And two, and he's thankful for what he's learning. He's thankful for the wisdom that he's gaining. The second thing is humility. Humility. Great humility. You know why? Because you see how he sees, he begins to see how much he doesn't know. How much there is to learn. And that God's word is never exhausted. Nor is it exhaustible. Isn't that something? Thankfulness and humility. And the more you learn, the more you want to learn. The more that you see there is to learn. And it's fun. Because it's whose knowledge? It's God's knowledge. That's right. Let's look at Proverbs 15 real quick. I'm going to read the first part of a verse there. Yeah, knowledge. Knowledge of God's word is never something that is your measure. Knowledge of God's word is never a point of pride. Ever. It is never something that you use to measure yourself against another. Ever. Because one thing that you learn from God's word is that how much are you worth? Nothing. But what you see from God's word is how much you're worth to who? To God. See that? That's where your worth comes from. It comes from God. It comes from the price and the sacrifice that He was willing to make in the giving of His Son on your behalf. Isn't that something? See? So it's never something that we measure ourselves against another. Ever. Ever. Never do that. Not with God's word. You didn't have anything to do with God's word. You didn't have anything to do with bringing it to pass. Right? In Proverbs chapter 15, this is great. Verse 14, I just want to read the first part of the verse for our purposes. The heart of him that has understanding seeks what? Knowledge. He wants more. See? He wants more. Isn't that something? You know, Jesus Christ said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be what? They'll be filled. That's right. And when you approach God's word with that reverence and that humility, that hunger that you approached it with is satisfied, but you know what? You get hungrier. Yeah. You want to know more. Because you begin to see more and more of who this God is. And what he's about and what he's done. Isn't that something? It builds. That hunger actually builds. See? It's really something. Let's turn to the book of Acts, please. And we're going to read a little section here. These things that were considering here and some of the things that I'm sharing are simple truths They're elementary truths. They're critical truths. And yet, in the scope of history, it is a very rare thing for truth to live in the lives of men and women. It's happened, but it's rare. It's sporadic. Isn't that something? Truth is precious. God's word is precious. And what we have is very, very precious. And what we know regarding God's word and what we have is really kind of unique in history. You don't see it, perhaps, because you're just living it. But if you take a look back, you know, the simple truth, Martin Luther, the simple truth of grace, that is by believing, rocked the world. Rocked the world. And if you don't know anything about that time, you ought to read about it. It's pretty breathtaking. It rocked the world. Isn't that something? Look what we know. It's really something. It's humbling. It's humbling. So it's been a precious thing in history for God's word to really live, for the accuracy of God's word to really be held forth. And because it's such a precious thing, and because it's such a rare thing, that's why it's so important that we say what the word says, and that we rightly divide God's word. Sometimes we get into some of the details of God's word and it upsets people. Too picky. Too this, too that. Nah, it's God's word. I don't think you can ever be too picky. It's God's word, right?
Right.
See. I want to show you in Acts 20 here, our record. Verse 17 of Acts 20. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, just a quick thing here. Ephesus. From Ephesus, all of what we would call Asia Minor, all of Asia Minor heard God's word. It was in 2 years, what was it, 2 years and 3 months? From Ephesus. It was an incredible move of the word, an incredible work that happened. Well, in this record here, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. Against the advice of God. But it's what he's doing. And he didn't want to stop in Ephesus, didn't want to take the time to do that, so he calls for all the elders of this great church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews or the Judeans. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles, repentance toward God and believing toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide you." That's a whole another teaching. We're not going to. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course and the, with joy is not in the text, might finish my course and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, Paul here mistakenly thought he was going to finish his course. It was many years later, which you can read in 2 Timothy, where by revelation he said, I'm going to finish my course. That's something. And he was faithful, it says. Anyway, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all. I have not held back, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit, meaning God, has made you overseers, to feed or to shepherd the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's something. That's quite a warning. Also, of your own selves, of you that are gathered here today, you leaders, shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Wow. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn or to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's a great verse. Do you know that that's not recorded? No, it's not. He said it. And that's on them? How'd Paul know that? Anyway. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, souring most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his what? Face no more. In retrospect, perhaps what they should have sorrowed most of all about was the fact that men among them would rise up and pervert the truth and seek disciples, because that's what happened. That's what happened. And by the time of the writing of 1 Timothy, all they in Asia had turned away from Paul. They'd all turned away. Isn't that something? See how precious truth is? You know, the church in the first century didn't last very long. It really didn't. They were not successful, for the most part, in passing it on to the next generation. Isn't that something? So, you know, you got maybe 38, 40 years. That's it. Not very long, is it? I've been in the Word that long. It's a unique thing. It's a unique time. There's so much to be thankful for, so much to be humble about. And when you look at most of history, most of it's pretty dark. Because the truth wasn't, it just wasn't believed. It wasn't out. It wasn't available. when and where it was, boy, that light dispelled darkness, didn't it? You know? Really something. The truth is something that needs to be guarded, needs to be protected. And I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. I think this is where we'll close. I was thinking about another record that I really love and never tire of. And 2 Timothy 1 is where we're going to go. Never tire of it. And it's the record of those men on the road to Emmaus. Cleopas is the name of one of them, and the name of the other is never mentioned in God's Word. But it is just so remarkable to me how Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, spent so much time with those two men. Two disciples. They weren't even one of the 12. You know? Just two disciples. That were kind of bummed out. They were real bummed out. And they were walking. And, you know, Jesus Christ showed up and said, "Hey, what's going on?" Love that. But, you know, Jesus Christ ended up sharing all the scriptures that pertain to him. And, you know, when he sat down to eat with them and broke bread, and all of a sudden they realized who it was, what they said when it was all over was, "Did not our heart burn within us as he shared, opened the scripture along the way?" So that's what burned in their heart. Now they ran and they told the others that they'd seen the Lord. That comes up later in the Gospels. The disciples talked about it. Yeah, there were two that saw him. They saw him. But what made their heart burn was what? The sharing of the scripture, the opening of the scripture, the opening of truth. There's nothing more thrilling. If you've got a hunger for God's Word, there's nothing more thrilling. Where you're reading along in God's Word and then, bam, God shows you something. You put something. You know? Sometimes it's just for you. Have you ever done that where God just showed you something in His Word? You put something together and you share it with somebody else and they just kind of look at you and go, "Yeah. Great." It's for you. It's like, well, you don't really see it, do you? I guess you had to be there. And sometimes it's like that. That's okay. It's for you. God does that. You know? It's awesome. It's awesome. It's thrilling. That is just so thrilling when Father does that. And He will do that because He backs His Word up. He's faithful to His Word. Even if it's only one that believes. That's what's so great about manifestations. That's why it's such a tragedy that so many in the church have gone after that. You know, the Word of God says forbid not to speak with tongues. Yet much of Christianity does forbid speaking in tongues. And those that don't, they wrongly divide God's Word and call it a gift. And say only certain ones get the gift. It's not what the Word teaches. And the tragedy of it is that those individuals don't get to see God's Word come to pass now. You believe it. You start talking and a foreign language comes off your lips that you don't know. Woo! God's Word is faithful. You see it? It's a living Word. It's as alive today as it was when it was written. It's alive today as when it left the lips of God. See? That's what's so great about manifestations. That's what's so great to any son or daughter of God that manifests. They know that they know that they know. At least in that moment. Maybe they get talked out of it. Doesn't matter. At least in that moment, they know. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. But these are things that need to be guarded. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. You know, let's start back in verse 8. This is so wonderful. Be not thou therefore ashamed, speaking to Timothy here, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or before the age began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, or guard that, which, and this should read, keep that which he has entrusted unto me against that day. That God is able to guard that which he has committed unto me against that day. Well, what is it that he had entrusted unto Paul? Gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Hey, what are we talking about right now? Huh? What are we talking about? The word, gospel of Jesus Christ. Is God faithful? Have there been attempts since the time of the Apostle Paul to get rid of God's word? Oh! Yeah, that's a whole study. But we're talking about it today. We're reading about it. Paul will not be hard to find at the gathering together. He'll be the one with his eyes like about this big around at how faithful God was to guard that which he had entrusted unto Paul. That's something. So hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in believing and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, see, that good thing or that deposit which was committed unto you, keep by Holy Spirit which dwells in us. You keep it, you guard it by way of Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. And this is when it goes on and talks about all they in Asia had turned away. See? And Timothy was in the middle of this and had to deal with it. And he would guard that which was committed unto him by way of Holy Spirit. In verse 15 of chapter 2, in the middle of all this stuff, Timothy is told to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. In the middle of all this that was going on in Asia, Timothy was to guard that by way of Holy Spirit and to keep his nose in God's word. That's something. Because it's a word worth knowing. It's a word worth growing in. It's a word worth pursuing. And we keep pursuing it for the rest of our lives. Because you'll never know it all. You know, I've said for years, and many of you have heard me, when you think you got it together, when you think you've arrived, duck. Just duck. Because you'll never arrive. We keep learning, we keep growing, we keep gaining wisdom. We get better at this walk with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that something? We become more trusting as we keep our nose in God's Word. It's a neat life. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen.